Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, sum up, if we can, where Job is here. I submit to you, you do not know of any individual who has ever lived who has reached as low a point as does Job at this moment. Think about it. All outward understanding, he is dying, thrown away in the trash dump. The darkest hole, the darkest pit of pain, of anguish, of emptiness, of nothingness. And right at that moment, he says, I know my Redeemer liveth.
The truth is, God's shaping you with every challenge you face. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, The Great Affirmation, and looks at the life of Job to help you see how God grows you through both successes and suffering. That's coming up in just a moment on The Winning Walk. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, the pain you experience in life doesn't have to hold you captive. God has designed you to walk in the freedom that comes with knowing He cares for you and will provide for your every need. That's the message at the heart of Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Pain in Your Life. This powerful series will help you identify the roots of your pain and overcome them through God's power. We'll send you a copy of Overcoming Pain in Your Life as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional, even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Great Affirmation, Part 2.
Now everything is dark around Job. He can't see. His past is insignificant, and his future is filled with pain and anguish and suffering, and he knows there's no future out there. But Job needs to learn, as we need to learn. I want you to say these words after me. Never doubt in darkness. What God has taught me in the light. That's profound. That's deeper than we can understand. But that is the truth that we find in this verse. Job says, God, you've put me in darkness, and you're not there in the darkness with me. And I'm sure God is saying to Job, Job, don't you doubt in the darkness what I've already taught you all the years being present with you in the light. Then look at the next part of his complaint. He says he removes the crown from my head. In other words, he'd been the number one guy. Now he was nothing. You remove the crown, the prestige, the position. Verse 10, he breaks me down on every side and I am gone. And he has uprooted my hope like a tree. And he's kindled his anger against me and considered me his enemy. In other words, before you remember we talked about, we said Job was being pruned by God so he could produce more fruit and flower. And sometimes that's suffering. Job says, let me tell you, this has gone so far. I have been uprooted like a tree. When a tree is uprooted, what happens? It dies. Job knows he's absolutely terminal as far as he can understand. He said, I'm dying. God isn't pruning me anymore. I am dying. I've been uprooted like a tree. And then he goes on and gives another picture of how God has abandoned him. He said his troops, verse 12, come together and build up their way against me and camp around my tent. What's he saying here? He's saying, I'm under siege. He said, here I am, my little tent of life, and God has surrounded me with all of his troops, and it's as if I'm God's enemy, and God has dropped an atomic bomb on little old me. That's what he's seeing. Man, 10 ways, Job says, God has abandoned me. The Father has turned away from me. Think how that would be. Think how dark that darkness would be. How deep that pit would be. Cruel joke. Father said to his 10-year-old boy, I want to teach you a great lesson in life. Here, climb up on that rock and jump off and I'll catch you. Little boy climbed on the rock about 5 feet high and he said, Daddy, I'm shaky up here. He said, don't worry, son. I'm teaching you a great lesson. Jump, your father will catch you. And he jumped. His dad caught him. He said, oh, good, Dad. Thank you. He said, no, climb up on that next rock a little higher, about 10 feet up, and you jump and your father's going to catch you. And he said, Dad, it's high up here. He said, no, jump. Trust your father. Jump, I'll catch you. The boy jumped. Oh, Dad, that was one. He said, now I want you to climb way up on the top of that rock. Man, it's 15 feet up. You get up there. I want you to jump, and I'm going to catch you, son. It is really high, Dad. It is too high. I can't do it. Oh, yes, you can. Trust your father. Jump. I'll catch you. And the boy jumped, and the father moved his hands away, and the boy crashed into the dirt, hurt and bleeding and broken. And he said, Father, why didn't you catch me? He said, I was teaching you a great lesson in life. Don't trust anybody, not even your father. Cruel joke. This is Job, ladies and gentlemen. This is Job. 10 ways attacked by his friends. 10 ways abandoned by God. And he shouted and he cried and he challenged God in every way to come and understand, break through this darkness. And the father pulled out his hands away from his special guy, Job, and wasn't there for him. You see, only in silence did Job finally learn, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, how faith and experience can match up. You learn that only in silence before the Lord. You don't learn it when you're talking, complaining, whining. You learn it only when you're silent. And that's a great deal of what Job is about. So now we see the final stanza of the 19th chapter. And Job says, 10 ways I've been alienated from every other human relationship. You say, well, nothing else can happen to Job. Here's the last thing that totally devastates him. Look at the latter part of this 19th chapter. It says, he, talking about God, has removed my brothers from me. Job's brothers don't have anything to do with him. All his children are dead. He says, my brothers, they're removed from me. They don't come around. I'm in the trash deep. I'm thrown away. I've got these boils from head to toe. My brothers have nothing to do with me. He said, my acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My acquaintances. You see, when Job was the number one guy, can't you imagine in all the air of the east, someone would say, by the way, I was talking with Job yesterday. By the way, Job asked me to go to the chariot race with him. Incidentally, Job invited me for lunch. You know, I was talking with Job, and he told me the way things are going in the camel market. But now all of his acquaintances, he's not the number one boy any longer. He's not the number one guy. He says, my brothers don't have anything to do with me. My acquaintances don't have anything to do with me. And he says, look at verse 14. My relatives have failed, and my intimate friends have forgotten me. You say, boy, I know Job. Name drop. You know, I know Job. And now his intimate friends are asked, you know Job? Well, I sort of knew him, Cad. Knew who he was. See what happened? Verse 15, those who live in my house those who work for him. My maids consider me a stranger. I'm a foreigner in their sight. I call to my servant, but he does not answer. I have to implore him with my mouth. In that day, someone, a potentate, someone as wealthy and prestigious as the number one guy in all the East, man, as far as his servant was concerned, all he had to do was go, anything I can do for you, sir? Do you have a need? Any way I can help? Anything I can get? And now all of a sudden, nobody knows him. Nobody cares. Nobody's around. Nobody's interested. His brothers, his relatives, his intimate friends, those who would love to just be seen with Job or have Job simply acknowledge them or even to know their name, they're nowhere to be found. And I really love this one, verse 17. My breath is offensive to my wife. I'll have to tell you this. We were driving over here from one of our other services I'd spoken to, and Jobeth said when I said that, she put a breath mint in her mouth. She said, you know why? She said, just a reflex reaction. But you see what? This is the same wife, you remember, who told Job, curse God and die. You must have committed some terrible sin for all this to happen to you, to happen to us, to happen to our family. And Job, bless God, this same wife now, she's not even coming to the garbage pit to see him. And she tries to find an excuse, and she's saying, his breath is so bad. Oh, I can't stand to go around him. The stench, the boils, the death, she didn't show up. Then look, and I am loathsome to my brothers, a general statement about everybody. He says, verse 18, even young children despise me, and I rise up and they speak against me. Children can be cruel and heartless, and they see Job, skin and bones emaciated, the stench, the garbage dump, and they laugh at him, they poke fun at him, they ridicule him. They say, look at that guy, ooh, how horrible he looks. In verse 19, get this word, all of my associates abhor me, and those I love have turned against me. And then he says, my bone clings to my skin and my flesh. In other words, he's just flesh and bones. And I have escaped only by the skin of my teeth. I looked up in a dozen different commentaries about the phrase skin of my teeth. We still use that. You escape by the skin of your teeth. Man, I would have told you, but I knew you had to get out by the skin of your teeth. And it's interesting how they interpret that. Some commentaries said Job had lost all his teeth and the skin was his gum. I don't think that. We don't have skin on our teeth, by the way. I think it's just an expression like we use it. Job, he said, by the skin of my teeth, I am still alive. He said, I know I don't have long, maybe hours, maybe a day, but just by the skin of my teeth, I have bottomed out. I am dying. I think that's what he's saying. And then he asks for a couple of things. He says, pity me, verse 21, pity me, oh you my friends, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you persecute me as God does? Are you not satisfied? He said, look at me. What else could happen to me? Are you not satisfied with how I've been beaten up, how I'm diseased, how I'm dying, how I've been forsaken, how I've been cursed, how I've been abused? He said, look at me. Are you not satisfied with this? Then he makes a request to be remembered, verse 23 and 24. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book and with an iron stylus and lead, and they were engraved in the rock forever. He is saying, in other words, what's happened to me, my experience, it needs to be written down, and you need to cut out a rock with a stylus and put lead in there so other people will know the story of my plight, his complaint, and what has happened to him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, sum up, if we can, where Job is here. I submit to you. You do not know of any individual who has ever lived who has reached as low a point as does Job at this moment. Think about it. His net worth is zero. He's seen the tragic loss of 10 children, and there are the graves on the hillside. His health is totally gone. Satan has struck him with a disease. You can be sure it was the most painful disease that Satan had in his arsenal. All outward understanding, he is dying, thrown away in the trash dump. People who knew him have come and attacked him 10 different ways, viciously, unnecessarily, brutally, godlessly. And then God is nowhere around. The God who has walked with, the God who has served, the God who had blessed him, the God that he knew, God is not there. He's done everything. He said everything. And God is not around. It is a darker than a thousand midnights down in a cypress swamp is how the poet expressed it. Dark, damp, death, disease, destruction, devastation. And then on top of that, every human relationship he had on this earth, every human relationship he had, they're all alienated against him, have nothing to do with him, don't come around him. They are shunning him. They're ashamed of him. They're humiliated by them. If they're there, they curse him and abuse him and kick him down. The darkest hole, the darkest pit, of pain, of anguish, of emptiness, of nothingness. And right at that moment, Job utters the most, Job utters the strongest word of faith you'll find anywhere in the Old Testament. He says, I know my Redeemer liveth. There's not stronger faith like that in the Old Testament. The lowest moment, Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth. And he goes on to say, he said, I know there'll be a day in the flesh, though this flesh may die, when I will see him, he uses the word, behold him face to face. I thought about, we shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face. I know my Redeemer liveth. What a word. Job. Now that word redeemer is a terrific word. In Hebrew it is goel. And it's a picture of kinsman redeemer. If you start a little book of Ruth in the Old Testament, it says that Boaz was the kinsman redeemer of Ruth in that she was widowed. She was in poverty. But somehow as her distant kinsman, he became her redeemer and brought her back and married her because he loved her. This is a precursor of exactly what God did for all of us. Let me give you a brief theological tour. In creation, Adam and Eve were given dominion over the earth. Adam and Eve sinned and they lost their dominion over the earth. Who got that dominion? The prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this world. Satan got the dominion that Adam and Eve lost through sin. God visited the world in his son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and was our redeemer, our kinsman, man, redeemer, God, on the cross. He died for you and he died for me so that we are redeemed, and therefore now we enter into the dominion of our Lord and of our Christ and of God. We're in this world, but we're not a part of the kingdom of this world. We're now a part of the dominion that has been restored for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. You got it? tremendous thing. In other words, we have been rescued, redeemed, and we have been relocated. We have moved out of the dominion of the world into the dominion of Christ, though we're alive in this world. We've moved out of darkness into light. We've moved out of death into life. And that's Redeemer. And let me tell you something. When suffering comes to a life, we all cry out. We all need. We have to say, in every climate of life, in fact, oh, I know my Redeemer liveth. If you know that, that's enough.
I'm so glad you've tuned in today to The Winning Walk to hear Dr. Young's message, The Great Affirmation. Dr. Young joins me in the studio here. Pastor, you said never to doubt in darkness what God has taught us in the light. From your experience, what's one way that we can keep from doubting God when we hit those hard times in life?
Well, the first thing you do is fall on your knees and fall on your face and to know that God is with his children. And every moment of darkness is a prelude for insight into living and insight into life and insight as to what this darkness is all about. We learn more in darkness than we do in the light. We learn
That's
more in sickness
true.
Than we do in health. For every one person mm-hmm. that can handle success, there are 20 people who can handle failure. I love the adage, defeat can serve as well as victory to swell the soul and let the glory out. And sometimes our sin is so subtle, it may not be overt and gross, but it's so subtle, it takes a dark time to come to awaken us so we can be still and quiet before the Lord and let him do his work anew in our lives.
Now, no doubt there's someone listening today who's going through a period of doubt right now, and maybe they're even wondering, does God really love me? Mm-hmm. Assure that person that God will never leave him or forsake him.
Well, we have to remember that we're unconditionally loved moral failures, and that's so important. He unconditionally loves us. We can't unconditionally love one another unless his unconditional love is within us. And people have doubts. I always say, that's terrific. Doubt your doubts. And when we deal with doubt, so many times in my life, it becomes steadfast faith.
Yeah, God can handle that, can't he?
Oh, listen, remember Jesus at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration, he came down, and the man who had the epileptic son went to him and said, your disciples, you know, couldn't heal my boy. And Jesus asked him what was wrong with the boy, and he gives all the history of his ailments there, a brief synopsis of it. And Jesus looked at him and said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now, the man had every reason to say, oh, I believe you can heal, even though your apostle failed. But what did the father of the boy say? He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. What was he saying?
Yes.
Lord, I believe you can do it, but I have some doubts. And Jesus honored those doubts. He honors your doubts and my doubts. We're to doubt our doubts. And when we do that, it becomes strong, strong faith.
Always be honest with God about our doubts, and he'll take them and use them. Well, Dr. Young, thank you for this message today. We look forward to being with you again next time.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we want to help you walk daily in the assurance that the Creator of the universe cares deeply for you by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Pain in Your Life. The truth is, you're going to have painful moments in life, but you can rise above them when you trust God to meet your needs. Dr. Young's 5-message series will help you live confident that God cares for you no matter what you're facing today. It will encourage you personally and serve as a tool for you to minister to those around you who are hurting. We're excited to send you a copy of Overcoming Pain in Your Life as thanks for your gift to help keep The Winning Walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255, or text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young shares proven truth from God's Word to help you have an unshakable faith.